In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. When we have our services here, it's very unlikely that someone's going to stand up and disagree, or someone's going to call out some comment which is totally irrelevant. But I suppose it could happen if we went to Burn train station and we started to have our service there. It's possible someone could call out a comment. And when Jesus was preaching here in this passage in Luke chapter 12, this is just what happened. He's talking about something very serious. He's talking about the faithfulness of believers in persecution. And then there was someone there who called out something which had nothing to do with what he was talking about at all. He calls out, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." Well, we can imagine and we can think how people may have reacted to this comment. How did Jesus deal with this heckler, this person who calls out this comment? Well, he turns to him. He said, "Man, who made me judge or arbiter over you?" He's saying, in effect, what's that to do with me? It's nothing to do with me at all. This is none of my business. But then, which may have been understood also as a little bit of a put down, he says, "Beware of all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And if we think about it, it's very true. Our life is far more than those things that we actually own. But then Jesus, to bring the point home and to develop it, he tells the story of a rich man. There was this rich man who had a good crop. His crop had done very well, his harvest. And so he says to himself, "Well, my barns are too small. I know what I'll do. I'll pull them down. I'll build up bigger barns. I'll store everything there. And then I'm going to take life easy. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry." And we can well imagine this man laying on his bed with his eyes open, thinking about how he's going to pull down these barns, build up bigger barns, how he's going to just take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. He's just planning away his life. And then God says, "You fool. You fool. This very night, your soul will be demanded of you." And the man closed his eyes and never opened them again. Jesus said, "This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God." Let us just think a little bit more about this story. It's an interesting story. But this man is someone who's extremely selfish. He just thinks of himself. If we read the story, if we think about it, there's no mention of any thankfulness to God for this great provision of this crop. There's no mention of him giving anything to the Lord. You know, the Jewish farmers were expected to give the first fruits of their harvest to God. But there's no mention here. And then we don't read anything that he gave any to the poor, those in need, or even to the community. He was totally concerned with these possessions that he had. And if we think about it, he also lost out, didn't he? Because isn't there a great joy? You know, I'm sure some of you can testify to this. In the past, you've had financial difficulties. And then God has suddenly provided resources, maybe some money. And then how have you felt? You rejoiced. You thank God. You're amazed that he's provided this finance for you. We recognize that God gives us good gifts. And then, of course, isn't there a great joy when we give our money to the Lord? If we think about it, many of us give our money towards the churches at St. Ursula's. And there is a joy in pledging or putting our money in the offering. We know that our funds are going to the ongoing work of the ministry here and to help to the community as well and to ourselves. We know that when it's spent on the building, it's concerned with the long-term work of this church and its service. And then, of course, there's also we give money both in the church and also maybe independently to those in need. We can think of some of the works that the church supports, like the work with the Salvation Army, with the homeless, or with those who are orphaned, either with Chloe's Fund or Tear Fund. And I'm sure some of you are even more familiar with the various works that the church does. And we know when we give money, even if it's independent, we help someone. It brings us joy to know that our money has enabled someone's life to change, to be different. But this man knew none of this. He did not know anything at all because he was selfish. He was just concerned with keeping things for himself. He was not only selfish though, but he had a rather unsatisfying life. Now just think for a moment. If everything depends upon your wealth, how does it affect you? Well, surely, when he's thinking about these barns, and when he actually has these barns, if he were to live that long, he would have been worrying and thinking about those barns and what was in them. You know, could a thief come? Could they come and steal it? Could some disease come and like mold and the whole crop be ruined? Maybe a storm could come and destroy the barn. And that is what happens when we are just focused on our possessions. We begin to get worried and anxious because we know our whole existence depends on those possessions. The Christian, of course, is very different. The believer. Jesus afterwards speaks to the believer and reminds them how they are to be. They're to recognize that they have a Heavenly Father. And as God cares for the raven and for the lilies and for the grass, so he also, in fact, so much more does he care for them. And so they're not to get worried or anxious. They're to recognize that God supplies their need. And also, when they do get anxious, it's really a lack of faith. It is a failure to trust and believe God. And we need sometimes to remind ourselves as well. We sometimes, even as Christians, can get caught up with anxiety. But let us remind ourselves, as believers, we trust God and we believe that he will supply our needs. So this man led this unsatisfying life, worrying, but also his understanding of life. His understanding of retirement wasn't very accurate either, was it? He thinks he can just live off his goods, eat, drink, and be merry. Unless we're ill or invalid in some way, then no one is satisfied with life like that. We are created for activity, for work. If we have any doubt about it, just speak to someone who's retired for a year. Say to them, what's it like to have nothing to do? Do you enjoy having nothing to do? Of course they won't be happy. They'll be irritated. They'll be thinking, well, I have lots to do. I am involved with the church, or I'm involved with the grandchildren. I'm looking after them. I have my garden to look after. And the person will immediately tell and explain to you about the activities that they are doing. Because that is how we are created, to enjoy work and to enjoy activity. But also, this man was short-sighted. Everything was focused on the moment, living this life for the now. He had no thought of God. He had no thought of life afterwards. He was just concerned with his money now. And if we think about it, he wasn't really a very good businessman, because a good businessman invests in something in the present, in the hope, in the belief that in the future he will get a greater return. But this man was investing, but there was no hope of getting anything in the future, because once he's died, he could not take anything with him at all. It's no wonder that God says to him, "You fool, you fool." Those possessions that he had collected, that wealth that he collected, He could not take with him. He could not bring with him. It was just there. He did not even have much control over what happened. In fact, no real control. He could write a will, perhaps. But even then, he could not say whether people waste the money or use it well or not. This man was a fool. But when we look at ourselves, and when we remind ourselves how believers are to live, as Jesus does a bit further on in the passage, we find the believers are to live a very different type of life. Jesus speaks to them and says that they are to seek first the kingdom of God and reminds them that he will look after them and give them good gifts. He says to them, even, and remember, these were very poor believers. They didn't have bank accounts with money in them like we have. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This man, who we noticed was selfish and had an unsatisfying way of living, who was short-sighted, who God described as a fool, is a warning to us. Warning to us not to be like that. But instead, we are to be people who seek first God's kingdom, to be generous, especially to those in need, and to store up for ourselves, set our hearts upon treasure that is in heaven. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts.